Thank you very much, Margaret, and it's just great to be here and to be a part of what everybody else has already said is a very historic occasion. I want to, at the risk of boredom, but I don't think it can be said enough, but let me add my formal congratulations to the University of Technology and to the Museum of Modern Art for pulling this historic event together. We're truly participating in something that ought to be very important to our region. I'm very concerned with the whole notion of creating, no matter how small, new directions and new movements that come out of our own experience and out of our own soul. And so it's no contradiction that and no contradiction in terms that to have the reality within the region defined by ideas that come from without. It seems as if we're constantly looking to the outside to be able to define us, and there's an old way of defining power that comes out of the slavery experience that says power is the ability to define one's own reality, impose it upon others, and have them embrace it as if it was their own. And oftentimes when we look at these movements, and hence my question to the panel earlier, oftentimes we look at these movements and we, without going into the depth of our own experience, we embrace them so closely that they become so powerful that they direct us. And I come out of that experience in the Bahamas. The young lady asked the question, if we struggle to define Caribbean architecture, then how can we know what Caribbean modernist architecture is? You would agree that there's not one answer to that question. Perhaps the answer is not as important as the conversation that pursues from that question, the question that provokes the unlimited possibilities that are essential to our collective future. This conversation is important because it inspires us to investigate the need to express that which is as important as the need to eat, the need to breathe, and the need to make love. Now, I don't say that in an abusive sense. I just think it's just so important when we reduce this conversation and these great scientific ideas to the very basic level of the human being, naked as we might be, to really question ourselves and see where we're going. I come from the Bahamas, and we're often described as a small island state, when in fact we're a nation of 700 even smaller islands with a total population of just over 300,000 people. I'm always fascinated, therefore, by the sheer difference in scale of our diverse experiences, and recognize that many countries of our region never have had the critical mass to inspire the political will or the artistic capacity to embrace such major international movements as modernism. In our experience, such thoughts are mostly academic. When you consider that our total population is one-tenth the size of Jamaica and a fraction of Mexico City, and Enrique Norton was talking yesterday, it seemed to me that our entire population could fit in a housing neighborhood in Mexico City. You realize that we may have no framework to answer the question, what is Caribbean, or for that matter, Latin American modernism? I propose, therefore, to talk about making love. Not in a way that reduces our deliberations to the most basic of human desire, but in recognition of the human need to make joy and uplift the spirit of our individual and collective souls. To investigate this principle in the most universal of terms of how architecture serves the need for joy, I propose to discuss the fundamental question of what is What is a home in the houses of one architect, Ray Nathaniels? Now, I've got to figure out the technology. Okay. The work of Ray Nathaniels in the Bahamas for half a century, from 1956 to 2005, like so much that is special in our region, has been taken for granted, and in most cases, overlooked. When we speak of culture, and particularly when we speak of architecture, we're conditioned to accept outside intelligence being imposed on us and embrace it as if it was our own. This has been our experience, the experience of the colonial power being replaced by the experience of the foreign direct investor power. And from the days of the absentee landlord in the plantations to the contemporary foreign investor. Occasionally, we have the refreshing visitor from a different background who quickly adopts our islands and immerses himself in the lessons of the local heritage. Such a visitor was Ray Nathaniels. Ray came to the Bahamas in 1956. He was born in Sri Lanka, and he was educated in Britain. He began his career designing several outstanding structures in Tripoli, Libya. Spent, I think, 4 or 5 years out in Libya after he was educated in Britain, and without a question, this foundation prepared Ray to see the value and the common sense in the simple and modest structures of the Bahamas when he eventually came there. It is a fact that, unfortunately, in approximately 30 years after the landfall of Columbus, the entire population of the native Bahamians was exterminated from the Bahama Islands. So therefore, it's perfectly accurate to argue that all of the cultural influences that make up the present Bahamas have come from other lands and have been blended to make one unique identity. Now, this is not unique only to the Bahamas. Many of the islands, certainly of the Caribbean, not perhaps so much in Latin America, where there still is the presence of the native populations, and there are certainly artifacts of the native populations which give cultural memory to the built environment. In the Bahamas, there was very, very little to be found that could be used to reference the directions and to provide a foundation for design. And so one looks to the colonial architecture and the vernacular architecture, not unlike other places, to find the common sense, the principles of design, the way to get rid of the water, the way to respond to the sun, the way to respond to the breezes, the orientation to the views, the orientation to the ocean, the way to make comfort inside and out, the way to deal with energy issues and waste issues, etc. And you know, it's also a fact that the plantation industry of our neighbors further south never took hold on the poor soils of the Bahamas. So what resulted in the Bahamas in the historical development of the Bahamian Islands was a very modest architecture and a very modest built environment in comparison to the grand settlements, and in most cases a very unplanned built environment that even up until our independence in 1973, there was very little conscious effort to plan the urban space and to develop an architecture that identified the Bahamas as being a place that was special and unique. Most of what we will find in the Bahamas has direct reference, particularly to the British experience, and then in later years, the experience of all the other cultures that moved into the Bahamas for various reasons of economics. And our economics was directly related to the suffering of others. We've been pirates, we've been rum runners, we've been smugglers, We smuggle dope. We smuggle human beings. And now we have tourism, you know. And so the search in our soul to really understand what we look like and to be able to say, this is me now. See me here. This is what I look like. This is how I feel. This is how I respond to my environment. This is how I make love. This is how I make places of joy that cause there to be quality of life in our environment. It's not a question that we were encouraged to ask. And along comes Ray Nathaniels, who in my mind, in very powerful ways, began to ask these questions in very quiet ways. And to some people, you know, it may be a contradiction that coming out of the experience, my experience, I grew up, I'm a Jonkanu, which is a festival man, I make costumes and get involved in the music and the design and the soul, very much rooted in an African experience. But I also go to church in an Anglican experience where the Christ is still white. And expect Savior to come from somewhere else. And this is very fundamental, I think, to the discussion about architecture, because as we talk about the Caribbean and we talk about Latin America, I don't hear much in this conversation about the presence of the indigenous people and the presence of the African contributions as we discuss, as we move along. And with all that spirit and all that passion, I present you somebody who was definitely not African, but came into the Bahamas and understood that in the very basic of shelter and space and response to our climate and response to the need for housing, there were some lessons that were powerful. And he brought with him his exposure to the modern movement. And produce a wonderful variety of houses, which I'm going to introduce to you now. This is Pawpaw Bay, a series of houses that he kind of stumbled on. He found himself in Nassau in 1956 and did a couple of small houses, and then he was invited to come to Eleuthera by a very wealthy client, I think it's the Cochran family out of Dublin, who had the resources, had the money, and but most of all had the respect to allow him to do whatever he wanted to do, and he produced a series of houses there that were special, using the materials that were available, using the skills that he found right there on the island. And his detailing was very simple. Perhaps he was drawn to the modern expression because he could get rid of all the ornament and the detail and the moldings and all the trim that he would find in a typical house that was attempting to reference the experience of Europe and of Britain in the past. And he made these wonderful buildings with an engineer who was a young engineer at the time, and he always laughs that he probably would not have tried to do some of the things that they did when they did them. If he had more experience, he probably would say, man, you know, I'm not going to attempt to do what you're doing. But they made these wonderful cantilevers sitting out in the middle of these islands, which are swept by hurricanes on a regular basis. This was an artist colony that they did in the 60s together, Ray Nathaniels and a man named George Cox, and produced, I think, an architecture that allows, in principle, borrowing from the old houses. This house is really up off the ground, but there are spaces on the lower level that then open up, dehumidify the buildings, and allow the breeze to happen, but they occupy those spaces, and they put the main living spaces on the upper level, on these verandas, opening the verandas up out to the outside, so that there is no definite separation between inside and outside that made these houses special. And this whole notion of relationship to the views and to the ocean, to the outside and the inside, was something that happened throughout the work of Ray Nathaniels. I think it's Lao Tzu or somebody who says that in a house it is the site that matters. Well, very much for Ray Nathaniels. It was his site that mattered, and he worked like an artist and would go to the site and sit on the site and study the views and look at where the orientation was and make his rooms in such a way that he didn't just simply have just a few one narrow wall of views. He tried to look for ribbons of horizon to the ocean in his buildings. The blessing of being in the Bahamas in a lot of cases, certainly our ancestors knew that. Our ancestors all lived on the waterfront. We are 700 little islands, therefore we have more coastline than most countries. We're spread over from Fort Lauderdale in the north, the parallel with Fort Lauderdale in the north, to just to the northern coast of Cuba and Santo Domingo and Dominican Republic and Haiti and the Turks and Caicos Islands. And if you took all of our landmass and you put it together, you would have the landmass of Jamaica. So it's going to give you a sense of what's happening. But I won't say everybody, but the majority of our people, particularly because of tourism, have been drawn from those various islands. Maybe lived on the waterfront, where our grandparents lived on the waterfront and thought that they were suffering on the waterfront, having to make their own living as fishermen and as farmers. And we left that lifestyle for a better way of life, to live on the interior of New Providence. And so you've got, I think the statistic is about 60% of the entire country concentrated in the city. And that's, obviously another conversation, not unlike Kingston. I understand that Kingston has half of the population of Jamaica concentrated in this urban condition, which is so difficult to manage. But we left those areas, and I think Ray's architecture raises the question, what is it that we need to do to be able to cause us to focus again on that? This is a house that he built in New Providence on a hillside. The traditional wisdom was you go in and bulldoze the landscape and bulldoze the hills, and he found a way to build this house into the hills and cause there to allow the house to open up inside and outside. I think further along I have some pictures of what happens on the inside. I hope, Margaret, I hope you're not... Oh, God. Margaret, I'm just getting warm. All right. I did say we were talking about making love. Perhaps the only way I could make love for a long time now is to talk about architecture. Okay, all right. No time for confession. So we talk about the things that are about joy, about welcome, about making people feel comfortable, about sitting in an environment where you don't have to run air conditioning to be comfortable, to ways of creating inside and outside. The top right hand picture is a picture of that balcony hill house. I hope you could, if you get a sense of that, the walls slide away. Long before there was nano walls, he was sliding glass into pockets away from to open up the middle picture. The top is also a space where there's a glass wall between the inside and outside, and so he blurs the connection between the outside and inside. Puts a dining table in the water in the pool for folks to eat in that middle picture. I have to move fairly quickly through these because there are a number of houses I want to show you. This is a kind of like a Father, Son, Holy Ghost house. Most of his houses were very thin, one room deep. The breeze could blow through ribbons of glass that allow views to the ocean, sense of welcome, a sense of using very raw, basic materials that you could go down to the store nearby and buy, or you could dig on the site to make texture and to make light and to cause shade and feeling and to bring beauty into the environment. Again, another house with inside, outside views. This is sitting up on top of the hill. These railings do not belong to him. A number of the details of this house have been changed. by the owners, and that's one of the things that goes on. Space lights and details. It's just showing some of the interior of these houses. This house, although it is kind of nondescript in its character, was a fascinating house for me because Ray had a client who said, you know, all I want to do is live on my boat, but I want to be able to sleep on the land and so on. So he made a house for the boat, and then he wrapped the house for the boat with rooms for living rooms, bedrooms, etc. It's interesting that the space to your right in the upper left-hand corner, the space to your right is where he stuck all the bedrooms. This man had grown children. He was a bachelor. He decided he was never going to marry again, although he did get married much later. But it's a single bedroom house on the left. And then he said, anybody who wants to sleep here, they could sleep, but they got to be in another house. So Ray took the house and snapped it in two, bent it, and left the connection with the roof to make spaces in between. A series of very interesting villas is in this situation. There are four of these villas all together on a row on the Eastern Road in Nassau, where Ray began to develop a much more refined and sophisticated expression of the same ideas that he continued to play with, very much influenced by the bold, cubistic kind of form of modern movement. Really, the only example really of modernism that we might find in the Bahamas that was deliberately being done so, because this is a movement that really passed us by for whatever reason. As I said, the political will just was not there to develop our city and to sort of go out and define the influences that we could borrow from. So, but Ray made these very beautiful objects of art, and I think that's very special. And I think that too must be a conversation that we have to have. Is, you know, how do we not forget that there is joy and there are reasons to make wonderful places just to be, to enhance the quality of life for everybody involved. And this is his tour de force, which is Old Fort Point. Beautiful peninsula that he stuck this house, again a house for a bachelor. Seems as if to get really joyous houses, I'm not going there. But a very wonderful house. It works extremely well. It's very bold and it looks quite nice. And I'll move fairly quickly through it. A series of very well thought out details. Perhaps the last building that Ray, well, in fact, the last building Ray finished, and maybe the last thing that he actually worked very hard on before he passed away 2 years ago. Fabulous old teacher who came to the Bahamas, brought with him he brought his heart and his soul. Really, those were his materials. His materials were love and heart and soul. I did a house for Sydney Poitier when he too, you know, there's a connection. We're talking about connections all day long. He too, Sydney was a bachelor when he built this house for him. It's not to say that only the bachelors get the nicest houses. I didn't mean to turn that off, but Margaret is about to tell me to get off the stage. I just want to once again say thank you very much. I think that I'm fascinated by the connections. I think it bears mentioning that that my advisor in school, Mario Romanak, is also the advisor of so many other persons here in the room. That's fascinating. Tremendous connections being made here. I would just like to make the appeal for us to have this conversation on ideas and thinking and on directions that grow out of our own experience and out of our own soul, so that that we may do some things that, like reggae and like samba and you know, like calypso and all these wonderful things that allow us to make the whole world dance, that we can make the whole world think, and we could stand with respect beside any other movement in the world. I think that is so important. I'm enjoying this. I think it's wonderful. But there could be more. Thank you.